Welcome to the Walk On Mentality Podcast, where we discuss topics from walk-on stories and what it means to have a walk-on mentality, to entrepreneurship, to business, to fitness, mental health, and more. I'm your host, Jackson Mitchell, founder of Walk On Mentality Health, and I created this podcast to positively impact listeners through sharing inspirational stories and other thought-provoking content. If you enjoy the show, please share it with a friend. The goal is to positively impact as many people as possible. Thanks for tuning in. This episode of the Walk On Mentality Podcast is brought to you by Good Wolf Provisions. Are you ready to take your health and wellness journey to the next level? If so, look no further than Good Wolf Provisions, your partner in holistic, athletic nutrition. Good Wolf believes that true well-being encompasses more than just physical fitness. It's about nurturing your mind, body, and soul to achieve peak human performance. Their provisions range from the mushroom-powered Dawn Patrol superfoods, which go perfect in your morning coffee or post-workout smoothie, to whey protein, creatine, and even CoQ10 to help you stay focused and energized throughout the day. As part of the Walk On Mentality community, you get an exclusive perk. Head over to goodwolfprovisions.com to explore their offerings and treat yourself to a healthier journey. Use code MENTALITY at checkout and you'll unlock a fantastic 15% off your order. Thanks for supporting the podcast, and I can't wait to hear what you think about the supplements. Remember, no limits. If you're like me, you like to train hard. And if you train hard, it's incredibly important that you take the time to prioritize rest and recovery so that you can come back better. And one of the ways I set myself up to come back better is by rocking the Kane Revive. The Kane Revive is designed to stimulate recovery from the ground up, created for moments of athletic transition, made to support and renew the feet before and after workouts. Kane is made with Bounce Back Foam, a breakthrough biofoam created from sustainable Brazilian sugar cane. The shoes are odor and bacteria resistant, quick drying, and ultra durable. They were developed in partnership with Dr. Daniel Geller, an authority in the treatment of foot and ankle injuries in elite runners, cyclists, and triathletes. Head to the link in the show notes to support the Walk On Mentality podcast and get yourself a pair. Come back better. Are you tired of feeling like your clothes are too tight, uncomfortable, or never your size? What about feeling like you never have the right apparel for the various occasions that you're doing on a month-to-month basis? At the end of the day, you look good, you feel good, and you feel good, you play good. And that's in every area of your life. And if that resonates with you, look no further. I'd like to introduce you to the Roan Commuter Collection. Roan's Commuter Collection is flexible and breathable. There's a product for every occasion. Mobility is everything, and it makes looking good easy. Not to mention, with Gold Fusion anti-odor technology, you never have to worry about your pits reeking. If any of that resonated with you, then my friend, you are in the right place. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday and straight into whatever comes next. So head to roan.com/mentality and use promo code MENTALITY to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to roane.com/mentality and use code MENTALITY. It's time to find your office comfort. PK.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back, brother.
What up, man?
Dude, it's cool to be back here with you. I just was looking at your episode dropped May 11th of 2022. Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like we didn't even talk about OCRC. Yeah. Like, we didn't even talk about really running at all. I feel like we just talked about, you know, valuable stuff regarding photography, your journey with athletics and everything. But I feel like the vibe is much different now. The energy is different. I don't know. From my perspective, you're just even like kind of in a different place.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is funny because I think I remember texting you after that and I was like, oh shit, I didn't even talk about my run crew at all. Like, that was one check I missed totally. But I think that shows a lot of our growth, honestly, because back then, what'd you say, May 2021?
So August to May.
Yeah.
Is like 8 months, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We weren't even like, we were still like trying, if we had like 10 to 15 people, we're like, oh, let's go. Like, we made it. Like, 10 people want to run with us.
Right.
And even that point in my life, I was in a much different headspace than I am now. Like, just work-wise, financially, kind of relationship-wise, much greener pastures now since then. But I mean, with anything, it's been quite a journey.
Yeah. What do you mean, just like, sum it up in as many words as you want, but like,
different place then versus now, what do you think have been the key things that have changed?
For me personally?
Yeah.
Or, work got a lot busier. Really, like, that was really 2021 when we hopped on, or was it 2022?
So the episode dropped in 2022, May.
Okay, okay, okay.
Which means we probably recorded either at the end of 2021 or, like, early 2022.
Yeah, I think it maybe was April or March.
Okay. Yeah.
I was thinking back too far. I was like, wait, how long was I in a bad spot? I think 2022 was just, I mean, ever since the pandemic, being a freelancer, we probably talked about this in the last one. It's like, it was just kind of like, you got to get scrappy and get yours, like, wherever you can, whether I'm assisting other people or helping other people or, like, doing whatever I can to pay bills. It's kind of like the vibe for a little while there, and still, like, making money in decent spots. But for some reason, last year, or I guess this year, January 1st, 2023, like, just something switched in my brain. It was like, okay, COVID's done.
Right.
Like, even though it had been done as far as, like, how we conduct ourselves socially for a while, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, January 1st happened, and my brain was just like, okay, we're back to where you were thriving right before COVID happened. Just like the mental block was just
gone
out of there. And I don't really know. It might have been a part of, like, in December, I was booking jobs for January, and January was looking pretty busy already before we even got there. So I think that helped just spur me forward and be like, all right, all that shit in the past is done. Mm-hmm. Let's get the ball rolling back the way that you wanted to be as a freelancer. So that year has kind of gone this way, and it's been up and down, as I'm sure you're finding out quickly with your journey. Like, it kind of can come and go pretty quickly, but it's just been a much better year for work, and the run crew's been thriving, and I've been on multiple shoots with Toyota now this year, and I've been producing a little bit. So kind of finding my bag outside of, like, I just take photos, and realizing that I have strengths that are within, you know, networking, connecting people, building relationships with the right people. And I'm bringing a lot of that to the run crew, which is, like, just another light bulb. It's like, oh, this is, like, I don't know. As an adult, it's kind of interesting to, like, be like, oh, this is a strength of mine, and, like, I can pursue this further and,
right,
and make things happen. So,
yeah, a couple of things came to mind. One, it's amazing how powerful just, like, your mindset and that switch flipping is. It's like, literally, you probably went from, like, the mindset of, like, oh, I can't find work, I have no work, like, you know, woe is me, to, like, nah, like, I can get all the opportunities I need are right here in front of me. I just got to grab them.
Yeah.
And that switch changes everything. And then specifically regarding what you mentioned about, like, realizing that, like, you're more than just a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, because I think of, you know, being an athlete, growing up an athlete, it's really easy to tie your identity up in being just that. The same thing goes for transitioning into your professional career. And it's like, even if you are a freelancer or an entrepreneur, like, it's really easy to get tied up in just that thing.
Right.
But when you realize that you can do a lot of different things, to your point, you have many different strengths, and that you can leverage those strengths to help other people and do things and whatnot, like, again, like, changes the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny, you know, I know the run crew was in a different place at the time that we spoke, but part of me wonders if, like, subconsciously it was like, well, I can't talk about that. Like, I don't need to talk about that.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I think, yeah, it maybe wasn't just so forward in my mind at that time, or, like, it just maybe subconsciously I was like, I don't know if we're there to be talked about yet.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing to kind of, like, there's, like, with a lot of things in life, there's, like, a line of, like, you know, fake it till you make it. And then there's, like, if you're going to talk the talk, are you walking the walk? And, like,
for sure,
you're not ready to talk it or walk it yet, then, like, maybe it's not worth the talk yet.
Right.
Kind of move in silence a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, kind of on that topic, I mean, August of 2021, the crew was born.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know about, like, leading up to those moments. Obviously, we've discussed, like, this is getting closer to the actual time of the pandemic, but what spurred the thought for you, Vince, Haley, and Ian, like, let's create something, something that's, you know, community that's different. Like, what was the process like for developing the idea for this, not run club, but like the crew?
Right. Exactly. And we do like to see that we like crew to be a differentiator between club and crew, because the crew to us is just like a little more personal. It's more community based. It's kind of like, you know, we're there for each other. We embrace like mental health and that aspect of like, we all got our like things going on. Like, how can we help you? And like, it's not really just a club where you come, maybe pay dues, and like, you just show up and run. Like, we want to see you outside. We want to know what you're working on. So that's kind of like why we chose the verbiage of crew. But for me personally, it's been like a ticking time bomb in my mind. I was following run crews in London and New York and LA like as early as like 2013. Like,
wow.
I had just stopped working at Nike at that time, and like had worked on a project with a runner, and just kind of was like looking at the long distance scene from a distance and saw like some people doing some really cool stuff in the space that I'd never seen before. It's like, oh, running can be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like a notebook like from back then with like run crew names in it, just written down like different emails from people I'd emailed at that time, like, how did you start this? And I just kind of sat on it. And there was a few opportunities that came up, like maybe something's possible in Dallas. Ironically, with a store that we partner with now, Center, like there was an opportunity that they would have something there. And the person putting it together was like, yeah, but I got this Under Armour Connect. Like, and I was like, all right, I don't, like, that's not my vibe. Under Armour's not it for me, especially in the running scene. So I just sat. And then the way we all four came together is just kind of wild that it happened that way. But I would say for me personally, post COVID, like things are opening back up, kind of like, was dating this girl during COVID, we broke up, it like shattered my world, and I was just like, I gotta dive in. And like, I started doing hella yoga. I was going to like Black Swan, like,
I remember,
dude, like, yeah, 8 classes a week sometimes, just like, that was it. And it was just one of those moments in life where I'm like, I gotta go inward, and I need to be like out, I need to meet new people. And like, just with everything opening up at that time, January, February, March 2021, that mm-hmm. would have been Bishop Arts in Dallas was like back popping again. Yeah. Like, you could go get a drink, you could go get coffee, you could go walk around and meet people. And I just went out and was like, I'm gonna go to this spot, Tribal Cafe, like every day, do work there, get coffee there, read there, and just kind of like mingle and meet people. And a lot of the people there have become like really close friends now, but me, Vince, Haley, and Ian all met in that cafe separately.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of
wild.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
So I would go in there, and Vince and Haley were working there. So they met there. Also, at the time, no one knew that they were dating each other while working. But that's a whole nother story.
Whole different story.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would go in there, and Vince just kind of had like the vibe of like people that I kick it with. Like, probably the first time I like really talked to him, he had a By Way of Dallas jacket on. I was like, yo, dude, like, I know Hans, I love that brand. Like, and he saw that I was editing photos. Like, what do you do? And we just clicked. It was like, yeah, we're both creative. We both like, you know, Nike, cool clothes or whatever. Ian would go in there and journal in the mornings, and like Vince was like, this dude's just coming in here, he's just sitting by himself and he's just journaling. So he's just like, yo, what are you doing, what are you writing? And I think he maybe was writing about his running plan for the week or something, because Ian had moved to Dallas from San Diego like the month the pandemic started, so he had no friends. So it was kind of the same thing for him. He's like, I just go out and like try to meet people,
right? Like reinventing yourself.
Yeah,
kind of vibe.
And Ian has a heavy running background. Like, he's done a 100-miler. Like, he was a big part of a running club in San Diego, Milestone Running Club. So Vince had kind of, like, nonchalantly entertained the idea of signing up for the New York City Marathon. and he was like, yo, can you write me a running plan? And, you know, you kind of tell that to people and expect them to kind of just be like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And then they don't show up for you, right?
Right.
Next time Ian comes in, he's got like a whole plan for Vince. He's like, you can do this. Like, here's what you need to do, but you have to start training now. It's like maybe in the midsummer, New York's in November, and Vince is going from like couch.
I was going to say, was he a runner?
No, couch to marathon. But Vince has his own journey of like being in a marriage and getting out of a marriage and being in a previous position in a public eye and then getting out of that and then kind of reinventing himself in a different way. So he approached me. He was like, hey, I'm going to start training for this marathon. Can you shoot content at me? Like, I know you shoot. And so the first time we went to get coffee to talk about that, we were sitting there. I was like, what if we just started a running crew in Oak Cliff? There's like a run club in Oak Cliff, but it doesn't really do anything. They don't run most weeks. Like, what if we just did that? And Vince looked at me. He's like, yeah, but I would want it to be like Nike vibes. And I was like,
say less.
All right, bro. Like, we're
locked in.
We're in. So Haley has a running background. Also, she ran cross country in college. So she was not that anyone's not a real runner. We joke about that all the time. But she was like training heavily in a like Division II school. Yeah, yeah. So we just were like, all right, we're going to go to this park in Oak Cliff, Lake Cliff Park, and us four of us, and we're just going to run. It was like a mile lap around the lake, basically. So I think I ran the 1 mile for months. Like, I was just like, yeah, I haven't ran in a while, so I'm going to stick to this one.
Yeah.
But we have a photo from that day of us four, just like top-down shot of all of our shoes. And one thing we like to say is four of us to more of us, because it was literally like there's days out there sometimes it was just me and Vince. Like, it's like 45 degrees and windy in Dallas and like no one else is there, and we're like, all right, we're gonna hit our lap and we're gonna go grab a beer. But our thing that kind of has got us to now is by a long shot, consistency. It's like our thing is every Thursday we're there, rain or shine. There's a tornado warning, we've canceled a couple times when hell freezes over in Dallas and like you can't drive because there's an inch of ice on the ground once a year, we've canceled for that. Just regular rain or anything, we're out there, because we as a four decided that if we're asking people to show up for us, we have to be there to show up, and there's like got to be no excuses unless obviously safety is an issue. But yeah, we kind of all just met at the right time, and it's one of those ironic things where you're like, yeah, it just happened, the universe did the right thing, and like, but it's, that's literally what happened,
right? So, you know, Ian's coming from San Diego, no community, nothing. Vince, you know, has left his past life, kind of in a reinventing phase, wants to run a race. Ian's going to write in the program. You're in a reinventing phase, trying to meet new, more aligned people.
Yeah. I guess, not to cut you off, but it's the same Haley. She moved from Chicago during the pandemic, so she's in a whole new city. And moved here with her best friend and started fresh here as well.
Yeah. And so what I'm interested in is, like, you know, Vince approached you from the standpoint of like, hey, I'm going to train for this. Can you help me document it?
Right.
But it turned into like, let's build community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did he end up training for it and you document it? Or did the mission completely shift to a focus around like, I don't know you that well, but like there's a connection here that exists, and like, let's build something.
Right.
Like, how did that transition kind of occur? I mean, it sounds like it was just almost like an unspoken thing that just happened.
Yeah. I actually didn't document any of his training. So I did in a way, I guess, but not specific to that. And he did run the New York City Marathon. It was his first marathon ever. He went to New York solo, ran it.
Dang.
Like the next day he was like at the Knicks game or I think night of he was at the Knicks game, and I texted him. I was like, bro, what are you doing? Like, he's like, I don't know, man, I can't even walk up the steps, but like, I had to get in while I could. So yeah, I didn't really document any of his training. I didn't document a lot for OCRC initially either, because we would post like once a week, like, here's where we are, show up with this like in-app made graphic with our letters. That was like little catchphrases I would try to throw on there. So he he finished that race and was just like, all right, like, I guess he did that thing. Like, now we're doing this thing. And it just kind of grew organically, like, very slowly.
Yeah. So that was going to be another question I had, was like, in terms of the growth that you experienced. So, like, you went from four of us to more of us. Like, you know, I came and ran with the crew a handful mm-hmm. of months ago, and it was a crew.
Yeah.
And I know, like, you guys have had up to what, like, 80 people out there?
95 is our highest.
95 people. Yeah. So, like, you, what really has that process looked like for, you know, marketing and just getting more people to come? I think it's incredible what you guys have done so far. And, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I was looking at the website, and the website's dope. Like, obviously, I know you and have had, you know, we go way back. But, you know, connecting with Vince, briefly connected with Ian. I don't know if Haley and I talked. I don't know if she was there that day. But, yeah, you know, Ian and Vince both are dope. So mm-hmm. it's like, it only makes sense to me.
Right.
But, you know, how would you say you guys have gotten more awareness, and how has that run crew and what you guys are doing evolved over the last couple of years?
I think there was a point early on where we switched. It was like, once a few people started coming, I was like, all right, like, I guess I'll bring my camera, because for me, it's like, I'm going through my own process of, like, I kind of just need the community, and I need to get back running. And, like, mm-hmm. I always thought running was dope, and I'm not running now. So, I'm just worried about, like, knocking my 1 to 2 miles out. And, like,
right.
That's what I need.
Right.
And I think that's the cool thing about, the crew, is like, it really started, it's like, us four needed the community. And now it's like, the community needs not necessarily us, but this vehicle.
Right.
So early on, like I said, it was just shitty graphics and kind of like, here's where we are, and like, come show up. And like, that was our mantra, was like, just show up and keep going. Like, mm-hmm. that was everything we always wanted. Like, all you have to do is show up. There was a shift earlier. I started shooting and like, went with the whole black and white thing, because I had, just over the years, I've been looking from afar and seeing what all these other crews are doing and how they're doing it. And like, there was an absence, in my opinion. I'm sure there's people in Dallas that don't think that, but like, anything that was running and cool, I didn't see in Dallas.
Right.
And I've never been to any of the other running crews, which I think helps us in a way. But this year is kind of when the real growth happened. After a year, we kind of had like, maybe we were hitting like 15 people, and we're like, all right, like, and it was getting like built on our, what we call our OGs, like the people that were early on comers of the crew, were like showing up week after week after week after week. And that's kind of shifted a little bit now. It's still there for the most part, but back in May of this year, we had to cancel a few times because of, there was like tornado weather in Dallas, and it was like every Thursday for like 2 to 3 weeks, or like every other week. It was like, why is this tornado warning on Thursday every day? Like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
So we had to cancel, and then Haley manages a restaurant, so she's doesn't come often on Thursdays. She's more like with our Sunday long run crew,
mm-hmm.
so she's not often there on Thursdays. And Ian is a madman, and he was biking across the country in May. Like, he literally biked from San Diego to Florida by himself.
Built different.
Yeah, different. He was like, he told us a long time ago, he was like, yeah, I did a 100-miler, would never do that again. Like, yeah. He met, like, his demons, I think, on the 100-miler, and we're like, dude, you're biking across the country alone. Like, that's a different 100-miler. Yeah. That's still a 100-miler.
That might
but
be
thousands of miles
right.
alone.
Right.
So it was just Vince and I kind of holding down the fort, and it was just a little dip. It was, you know, spring breakish time. Like, people are out and about, and the weather's getting nice. So we kind of assumed that that means people are coming to run with us, and our numbers were dipping a little bit. And like, Vince is very, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. He's strong in his convictions. Once he decides, like, something's got to change, like, that's what he does.
Yeah.
So we were just kind of talking one day. We're like, dude, I don't know why, like, we're like taking a little dip in numbers. I don't really get it. And we're both just kind of like, this is bullshit. Like, we got to change something. And then, like, we changed our approach to social, and I just started kind of making sure that we have a story all the time. There's never a day that there's not stories on our story. Mm-hmm. And kind of just like what we envision to be, let's just show what we want to do. And like, let's show everyone like the vibe we want and like how we want to approach things and how we want people to tag us and share us and like and subscribe and all that social media stuff.
Right.
So I just kind of approached our social in a different way and started tagging people all the time, like any photos with like all of our people in it, just tag, 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 tag. And then it's like, you know, reshare, reshare, reshare. And then I think it helps that it looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, not
the aesthetic's great.
Toot my own horn, but like, I am a photographer by trade. So I'm like, yeah, people will walk up and be like, we came because we saw the Instagram. And like, the way I deal with imposter syndrome every week, I'm like, oh, dope. Like, that's cool. Thank you. And then in my head, I'm like, oh, that is dope. Yeah. Like, we built this. Like, let's go. So just making sure the presence on social is a lot stronger and kind of just remaining authentic to who we are as individuals and like just saying that's why people keep showing up. Like, let's keep pushing that out into the world. Probably around that time, I made the website and got all that rolling, and we got like our nonprofit rolling. So we are like a 501(c) in the state of Texas. We're tax exempt. Like, people can donate to us and it's a write off for them, which is how we've kind of leveraged some bigger brands to work with us or donate to us. We're all kind of business minded in a way, but Vince and I more so come from an entrepreneurial type of marketing and business, drive. So I think we kind of found our lanes as four individuals. It'd be like, this is what Haley does, this is what Ian does, and essentially a board of directors, because that's what we are now with our nonprofit. So there's a lot of organic growth and then moments of being like, okay, we need to shift here, let's shift it. Like, there's only four of us, we can discuss it in a text, which we do 24/7 nonstop.
Right.
They all know I love a group chat. I'm like, yeah, y'all aren't muted at all.
Right.
But yeah, just a major push for social and then keeping good, clean content going.
Yeah. How important do you think the, like, a couple things, A, just like owning, accepting, claiming like your greatness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, how important do you think that is? And then B, you know, the authenticity piece. I mean, I so appreciate how inclusive the crew is from the standpoint, like on the website, it says we're, you know, artists, entrepreneurs, scientists, you know, this, that, the other thing. Runners is somewhere in the mix, but it's like, you know, come one, come all, we don't care what you do. Like, we're just trying to get it in and like build. And I think that's really powerful.
Yeah. I think authenticity is, I mean, it's such a buzzword nowadays that it's like the way to be authentic is to like try to be authentic, you know, if that makes sense. But I think it just kind of shows like why people keep showing up, and we discuss this in meetings, like people keep coming because we're just like, we're just kind of no bullshit. It's like, yeah, come as you are. Like, if you want to walk 15 minutes and turn around and walk 15 minutes so you finish at the same time as everyone else, like, do that.
Right.
Like, there's no like judgment of anything. And I think I've struggled with that in my athletics career over the years, where like, if I ever take any time off from a sport and then like I feel like I'm not up to the level I once was, and like I kind of tend to be less confident, like, well, I don't want to play pick up basketball today because I don't feel like I'm really hooping right now, so I might as well not hoop. And
right.
So like the people that come and can see like all these runners and they're still like feeling included to me is major. Like, in a big part of that, I think, is on Thursdays is Vince and Ian. They're great at like just being engaging with people, especially Ian like can remember, you know, we have over 300 unique members. Ian probably knows everyone's name, their face to their name, and I'm like have these people been here before? There's just so many now.
That right.
It's a great problem to have, but right. like, I don't have that bag that he has, but that's his authentic self. So that helps me step back and be behind the scenes on social and be my authentic self with building that. And then he, once people get there from the social, he keeps them coming back. So like, and Vince comes from a past life of being a pastor, oddly enough, and like creating community and like leading people is like very strong suit of him. So, and Haley's in hospitality, so her thing is like, what can I do? Where can I help? Like, here, let's do this.
Right.
Kind of like scrappy individual, like I can do it all, like type of thing. So we're all just kind of being authentic to who we are in that way, and it just kind of flows through everybody else.
Yeah.
As far as owning your greatness, I feel like it's tough at times, especially in today's world where it's like, maybe you need to, you know, humble is also another buzzword, which you can be great and humble at the same time. It feels good, like selfishly, to know that, like, yeah, like all these photos, and I have another guy that shoots, Sam, who does great work as well. But kind of having a handle on all of that and being the director of the brand is like confidence building for me to kind of what we talked about before. I'm not just a photographer, but like I've seen this thing from afar, and now is the time to like turn it on, and I can produce this, and I can network this, and I can get us this partnership with Nike and ASICS, and Ian's brought Hoka in, and like just kind of get the ball rolling to be where we're at today.
Dude, I love that. And I think you're right. Like sometimes it is hard to accept like praise and just like own those parts, but it's like we all have gifts, and like
right.
we can recognize those gifts and like lean into them.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing, well, as long as you're doing things the right way,
right.
there's nothing bad that can come of it, you know? So like in terms of the, I don't even know if you call it the business side, but like being in a nonprofit, was that always a vision for the crew? If not, you know, when did that become something that you guys were like, yeah, let's do this 501c3 thing? Or is it 3c or c3? I can't remember.
501c3.
Yeah. So when did that shift occur? If the plan was always nonprofit, I guess that's not even an important question.
Right.
Was that always the plan?
No, not initially. Really, from the get-go, there really wasn't a plan. It was kind of like, just like, let's be consistent and organic and authentic. And the nonprofit, I'm trying to think when that came around. I think it just got to a point where we saw that there was growth happening, and like there's an opportunity for us to become this nonprofit, and that way we can take donations and monetize everything to just go back into what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's nothing where we're like, yeah, we want to monetize this so we can like go buy like Nike shoes and shit for ourselves. It's like,
right.
we do a raffle every week, and you know, we did that for a year or so, and like most of the raffles came out of Ian's pocket, like just because that was the thing he brought to us,
right?
And he just did it on his own, and it just like, we would throw him some bones every now and then, but he spent a lot of his own money to like get this thing going, and people love the raffles. So once we realized like, we don't need to be like, we've been like a year and a half in, maybe, or probably 6 months to a year in, we've spent our own money, we've done our own thing, we've carried this, like now it's like, let the community carry it for each other, because that's like essentially what it's about at the end of the day. And we've been able to use the nonprofit to leverage different partnerships. We just did a partnership with Methodist Hospital of Dallas, which is like huge. We're gonna go like lead some of their people on runs, and they're gonna have like someone come and talk about like why wellness is important, and like that's just obviously with running, that's an important thing to build within this community, is that like wellness is great overall, whether it's physical or mental. It's like that's what we want to push. So we kind of use that to match up with who we find is authentic to what we are. And over that time, we've had people approach us, and we're just kind of like, yeah, I don't know if the vibe is there. And we try to be earnest and truthful towards anyone who approaches us. Is like, we're not signing up for anything right now, but we can sit down and talk, and like if the vibe is there, then the vibe is there, then like let's go. But we're not here for anyone that's just, I wouldn't say trying to latch on. I don't know, I've gotten good at like the power of saying no to things. If it's just doesn't feel right or it's not the right fit, and it doesn't mean any ill will towards anyone else, it's just kind of like, yeah, like that's not our vibe, like thanks right. for reaching out, like maybe down the line we'll work with you. But I think that's something I've learned there, and for me throughout this whole thing, there's a ton of personal growth from my mindset that I'm learning about just as a person that doesn't have anything to do with Run Crew. But the power of saying no, I think, is an important thing to like kind of owning your greatness and being like, I want to be particular about who we're with because this is our brand and our baby, and like we want to do it the right way and make sure we stay on the right path with it.
Yeah, so obviously you don't need to share names, but like can you give more of an example of like kind of this this vibe, so to speak, of like, I guess the better question would be like, if somebody did want to partner with the Run Crew on an initiative, like what type of initiatives are you guys focused on, and like how do you determine who you want to, I don't know, raise funds for? Like mm-hmm. I don't even know the right question to ask necessarily yeah. in terms of like what it is that this nonprofit would be focused on.
Yeah, we don't really have like a there is one spot in Oak Cliff that we all kind of know through other people that we're just starting to like exchange some messages with and see if, what they want to work together on. As far as like when people approach us, it's kind of hard to explain. I don't know, another buzzword I guess is like energy. Like I have felt like for a long time that I just pick up on people's energy and I can tell if like, you know, there's a motive, and
right.
maybe not even a bad motive, but there is a motive, and it's all kind of like, how do you approach us? Like, how do you come at us? And like, are you willing to come back and like be a part of us? Like, we want you to be, if we're going to be invested in you, we want you to be invested in us. So there's just a few examples where people have like shown up to a run and their first run in, they're like, hey, I work here and here, and like, we see what you're doing, we love it, like we want you to like do this, and we're kind of like, yeah, let's like talk soon or like whatever, and then they're not ever seen again after that first week. And it's like, we kind of just want to see through the minutia and the bullshit and just be like, if you like what we're doing, like keep showing up, like
right.
we're not asking you to like give us anything really, but we want to get to know you before we're like, yeah, here's something very important to us, and we don't know enough about you to be like, yeah, let's link up, let's work together. So yeah. it's really just about like getting to know the right people. And if they're in a space of like saying they love us, but then they never show up again, it's like, okay, like, did you see a play here yeah. for your brand? Like, and not that we're some massive brand, but like people see you growing and they're like, oh, like what are they doing over there? And like,
right. No, it totally makes sense. You yeah. got to be particular about who's like in your circle, and like, you know, I think it goes back to your initial point about saying no to things. It's like, it's really easy to say yes to everything,
right.
and particularly when you've got this dope brand and dope crew that's growing, and it's like, yeah, like we want to,
and you're excited.
We just want to keep going,
like,
yeah. But being strategic in those decisions mm-hmm. and relationships, and like again, making sure it's aligned with what the brand and what the crew is really about, which is very clear. It's consistency, it's showing up, and it's really building like deep connection. Like
right.
community is not about just like a bunch of people in one spot.
Yeah.
It's about a bunch of people in one spot who are actually deeply connected, and then like beyond just in that one spot are connected through other like channels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a, to your point, like I showed up one time, tried to get in. They said, yeah, let's talk about this later.
And right.
I was like, well, I don't have space for later.
Yeah.
Like, it was either yes or like, I'm just not going to come again.
Yeah.
That's, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
And I think it's the right approach. So, you know, we're approaching the Dallas Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, like, for you, because I don't really know from like your running background specifically standpoint, like, How has your relationship with running evolved throughout the growth of this crew? And like, you know, going into this race, I'm sure there's a massive OCRC presence. So I'll just let you take that wherever feels right.
Yeah. Oh man, my running journey has completely changed with this thing. Like even the first year in, I'm kind of just like, yeah, like I do like our 2 or 3 mile route every week and that's it. There's some months where I'm like running on my own, but just not a lot. But you know, kind of as we talked about early on, I wasn't really in this space to like fully focus on that. I'm trying to like figure out the rest of my life. So it's like Thursday is kind of this thing that's keeping me at least on this path to like open it up whenever I'm ready and willing to open it up fully. So I had like a short stint with running like back when I was looking at these crews in like 2012. Working at Nike, I worked at this project where this dude ran and biked across the country, and that was just kind of like, wow, this is like kind of interesting. And oddly enough, I was starting my photography just as a hobby at that point, and I saw the photographer that was on the crew that was traveling like in their big RV with all the Nike branding and stuff on it, and I was like, this dude's like following this runner across the country with his cameras, and like he's like running down the street to get to the next stoplight to take photos. I was like, damn, like photography can be like cool. Like it's not this like, I always thought it was just like these nerds are like taking photos and like editing in like dark rooms and stuff. Like, nah, that looks fun. And right. So I never really thought about how those two things were like off the same project, but I started like following some distance running, and I had to like run some distance to work with that guy. So the store I worked in, he came in, we had to like run out to meet him, and then I had to put on an event for him at the store. Which was another pivotal moment in my life of knowing like I had to MC the event. I'm not like I'm not a speaker. I'm a very introverted person. And I'm just so nervous, and I like wanted to bail like the day before, like, how about someone else MCs? But as soon as the mic was in my hand, it was just like this thing turned on. It was like I MC'd an event, and people were like, what the fuck were you worried about, PK? Like you were like about to quit yesterday, and now like you just rocked that thing. Kind of just one of those things you learn about yourself as an adult, that like the fear is kind of like overweighing sometimes, and like it's not always a real thing. It can make you anxious, but there's ways to get through it. So 2 months later, he was in LA, and Nike flew me out to run with him again in LA, and I was supposed to do like 14 miles with him in LA, and I never ran more than 6. So yeah. Like the day before my flight, I ran 10 miles, and like at that time my mentality was like kind of like football built and soccer based. Like you kind of just run hard and then you run back hard again,
right?
And that's not how you train long distance running at all.
No.
So at that time I didn't know it. I got on the flight the next day, ran with him the next day later, and like 5 miles in, I'm like, dude, behind my knee is just like very painful. Like it was excruciating. Kind of got in and out of the van like off and on to catch up, and we were doing like 7 minute miles through downtown LA, like going up hills and stuff, and I had no business doing any of this. I was wearing the wrong shoe. Like the crew's like, if you're hurt, just like stop. And I'm like, dude, this is like the whole thing. This guy's like he's got like a paralyzed right arm, and he's running and biking across the country. Like his whole thing is like never stop was his mantra. Like I'm not gonna stop. Yeah. So I could like barely walk the next few days, and I got back and saw my sports doctor, and he's like, yeah, you partially detached your hamstring tendon. And, like,
oh, good.
Severe hamstring tendonitis. And that kind of held me back for a long time. I was just so worried about getting hurt that I didn't run for a long time. So there were some years off and on and running, but last August, I kind of just decided to sign up for the half, the Dallas half, last year. And part of that was my girlfriend had kind of went from couch to half marathon. She started coming in before that time in April, and she had run 0 miles. But we were kind of figuring out some things between us, and she just kept showing up. And then she's doing the 2 mile route. And then in August, she's like, I'm going to sign up for the race, the half marathon. I was like, well, shit, I guess I'm signing up as well.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do it together. And we had 11... maybe 12 people last year. This year we're pushing over 40.
Wow.
Which is wild. So that's super exciting, and that's been a big push for us for months. We've got a lot of exciting things planned for that weekend, which is in 2 weeks, like a week and a half, really. We've been blessed by Nike. I don't know when this is dropping. Whenever it drops, it won't matter, but Nike has given us 40 race tanks with our branding on it to
let's go
show up and like get the crew fitted, which is kind of like we're not paying for any of that. It's just these connections I've made over the years, and keep asking and you keep showing up for them when they need you. And we've done 3 different Nike runs with them, and they've loved what we're doing. And I've just been telling the whole time, like, we're here to like make running cool in Dallas. Like, it's not cool in Dallas, and I know you don't see anything that's cool in Dallas that you want to attach to, but we're gonna keep doing it. And kind of just hit up the people that I knew. It was like, hey, Dallas is coming up, we want to show up in this race heavy and like strong, and we got like 40 people running it, like, what can you do for us? And they're like, we got you on some tanks. They're going to put our logo on it. It's going to be sick.
Yeah.
It's going to be all black tanks with gold Oak Cliff Run Crew on it. Like, just kind of like that race day, like, metal mentality kind of yeah. vibe. So that's going to be dope. No one in the crew really knows that outside of, like, maybe 3 or 4 of us. So we're going to launch that and, like, kind of surprise all the people that are running. Most of the people that are running. Some of them signed up. You signed up too late. You yeah. should have RSVP'd sooner.
Right.
But super dope and massive. Like, when you think about that, it's like a brand as big as Nike, and to them, that's probably smaller potatoes. But it's like, they, if they're doing that, they believe in what you're doing, which is like, yeah. you know, the biggest brands in running in the world. So it's like, we're doing something right. And that's just super, it feels good to see that, like, we've put in almost 2.5 years of this, and like, people are buying in outside of us. Like, people right. are seeing, like, all right, like, y'all are not like just blowing in the wind. Like, I think podcasting is a similar thing. I've always looked at it like, there came a point when everyone in the world wanted to make a podcast,
right?
And everyone can and could, and like, there's studios like this, and everyone can get any cheap microphone and do it at home,
right?
Zoom calls or whatever, like you were doing before. And like, seeing your growth from that is like crazy, but that's what it takes. It's like the consistency. Everyone wants to do the podcast for 3 months, and then they get burnt out, and then they stop,
right?
And then maybe they release one like 3 months later, and then another one in a couple of weeks. But like, if Walk on Wednesday is your day and everyone knows this podcast is coming, it takes maybe 6 months, 8 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years maybe of doing that every year before it just turns, and then it's like you explode. And like,
yeah,
but it, people, I think, see that sometimes, and they think that, like, oh, y'all just blew up. Like, no, like, I was putting out a podcast and an email chain every Wednesday for 2 years to get to this point.
Right.
And I'm still not where I want to be, but I don't know what tangent I was going off on that, but I think like, getting people to buy in and believe, like, the consistency, back to that thing, is, like, it's huge.
Yeah.
Like, it just shows that you're committed to what you're doing, and you're going to keep doing it no matter what. And I think that's major.
Yeah, I agree.
Kudos to you on that, like, as well. Like, the last one we did a year and a half ago was on a Zoom call, and it's like, there's no video, and now you're like pushing out video and like taking off, and I love to see it, man.
Appreciate it, bro. Yeah, you're absolutely right, though. I mean, the consistency was like the first thing you said on this episode,
mm-hmm.
and Nike sees consistency, and it's actually like, it's the same thing that you've done in the crew in terms of consistency and showing up. Like, it's the same thing that you've done with that relationship with Nike. Consistency,
right.
You know, persistence in terms of like follow up on, hey, we want this, letting it be known that you want that, but showing up regardless. Consistency again, and like, you've done projects for them. Like, you were down here shooting for them back in February, we mm-hmm. linked up. It's just, that's what it takes. And like, I think I saw something earlier today specifically about that. It was like, you know, people talk about these overnight successes, and like, yeah, it is an overnight success, but they forget that it took 2, 3, 4 years
right.
leading up to that night that it happened overnight.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like, even I think, yeah, I could go on a
tangent
about that, but the point being that, you know, consistency, I think, is the key ingredient to success in whatever it is that you're doing. And also to your point too, it's like when you're, the consistency definitely proves that there's a level of commitment by you to whatever it is that you're working
right
on. And when you can find that thing that's worth showing up for every single day, and regardless of the outcome, but you believe in it so much that you want to keep doing it, like, you found the thing,
right?
And like, don't stop.
Yeah,
like, do not stop.
Yeah, it's passion, right? It's like, I'm like, I don't make money on OCRC. We're monetizing, but that doesn't come to me at all.
It's, right.
At times more than like, it's not a part-time job. It's like, you know, I have the phone in my hand all day, every day, because I have to repost and share. And like, it's a consistent job. I'm lucky that I have a job already that allows me to have the space to like do that. And it probably might not work otherwise. But, it's the passion that drives it. It's like, I do it for free because I love doing this. And it's kind of like that, you know, mantra of like, what is it? If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Like, it's so cliche, but it's like, yeah, I wouldn't really call it work.
Right.
It's just kind of like, I mean, it's a lifestyle, really.
Yeah.
It's what it becomes.
Building something you believe in.
Yeah.
What, it's interesting. I've had a handful of people actually who've talked to me about this specifically, like, they're like, oh, you know, I wish there was a run crew in my town. I wish, you know, there was a way for me to build a community or whatever. And like, dude, I'm so naively optimistic. My response is just like, then start it.
Right.
Like, start it.
Yeah.
What would you tell somebody if they asked you like, oh, you know, I live in Washington or Georgia, and like, you know, I really feel some kind of way about building something special. Like, how would you recommend that I do it?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I hate to beat a dead horse, but consistency, like, yeah, it is kind of funny that you say Washington, because we had a guy that briefly came to our run crew, and then he was like, I have to move to Seattle. And I think he hit up Vince on Instagram, and he was like, hey, would you ever want an OCRC chapter in Seattle? And we're like, obviously, like no, that's not Oak Cliff, but like, he's kind of just, I think they've talked back and forth, because he's just kind of like, how do I do that here in Seattle? What would I tell someone? I think, you know, consistency is crazy, but you just have to, I don't know, you kind of have to have a nose for like who's good for you. And I don't know, it's kind of like an instinct thing, I think, but just kind of, I mean, I'm like hitting every word that we talk about, consistency, be passionate, like just show up, keep going, like, it all envelopes into this thing of like, if you really want to do it, like kind of what you said, and for lack of a better term with Nike, it's like, just do it. Like, people can talk about it for so long. And with me, it kind of became a thing where it was like, well, I'll never make a run crew because it just has been this idea I've had. So there is some like measurement of it'll happen at the right time. But like, if you want to make it happen, just make it happen. And that was kind of what we did, is like, we wanted to run with like-minded people and cool people, and I had just never really seen that in Dallas. I know now that there's some crews that are like, we have a lot of people that come and run with other crews and run with us, but I think we benefited from never ever going to those run crews. We never had like a preconceived notion of what we should do or would do. Ian's really the only one that ever ran with a run club before, so yeah, I think just go and build it. Like, you build it, they will come, you know.
Yeah,
type of thing.
It's funny, you know, I lived in Dallas for a long time, and I started running like consistently probably in 2018, let's call it, maybe 19, I don't know, but I've never been to any other run group in Dallas. And you know, maybe that's partially because I enjoy training alone.
Same.
But it wasn't until OCRC popped up that I was like, wow, like, what a sick thing. And I think maybe too, that's because, you know, now that I live in Austin and I see
the
community around running and what that looks like, I'm like, man, I like knowing now that there's something like that in Dallas that, like, if I'm back visiting family, like, I can go be part of.
Right.
It's a great thing to know.
I love it.
So I'll just applaud you guys and say,
thank you.
In y'all's words, keep going.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Austin scene is solid. That's kind of like what we want up there. It's like, kind of look at these other scenes and try to replicate that and put our own twist on it. But the scene down here is super strong, and that's kind of like, once my Nike contact that's here in Austin. She kind of sent me the flyer. She's like, this is what we have going on in a couple of weeks. Like, if you're down here or know anyone down here, like, feel free to share it. And I was like, huh, it's a 3-hour drive. Like, why don't we just go down there for a day or two?
Right.
And Vince was on, Haley was on. Ian, unfortunately, has a much more important job than we have. So he wasn't able to come, but like them, they too, I can kind of just go where I please at times, and Vince can a little bit, but they have jobs that they have to like take off to like come to Austin and like do the thing at the Loop tonight and like see a world record runner and like really just mingle and network and kind of be seen in this scene that we love. And we're not in it because we're there, but we're close. So it's like they had to take time off of work just to come do this. So that kind of just shows that like we're really like about it by like by any means necessary, like whatever it takes to like just, we maybe we'll meet a few people today, and then we're planning on like trying to bring a crew down here in February, and like we'll see those people again, and then we'll show up with like maybe, I don't know, 15 people or something, and be like, wow, like y'all were here, like met us, and now you're here again, and like,
right,
you know, kind of just be seen and show face and show love. Really, like that's the biggest part of it. It's like we want to love like something that we love, and like we love the scene that's down here. The scenes in other cities are dope, and like we just want to bring that to Dallas.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear when people are like, I came because it looked cool, or like I hadn't seen anything else like this, so we wanted to come here. And like it helps to know that like people are catching that vibe.
Yeah. So listeners, be on the lookout if you're in Austin for the marathon in February.
Let's go.
OCRC shakeout run.
Yeah.
Going down.
Yeah.
Details to come.
Let's go.
I just put you on.
I love it. I love it. We'll do it.
Man, I mean, is there like anything specifically that you want to chop on? I mean,
I don't know. Let's see. I could talk about OCRC all day, man.
Yeah.
I love it. The running community is just, it's crazy, man. We've met so many people and like so many like-minded people, and we're all going through the same shit. Like, you know, we all got our problems and our strifes, and like we all had shitty work days, but like I love to know that people know, like, no matter what, on Thursdays at 7 p.m. at Founders Park in Oak Cliff, if you're ever in Dallas, come through. Like, people know we're there every Thursday, and like people need that. It's like, and then they know we partner with a brewery, Manhattan Project Beer, and they have great beer, and they put us in the back of their tap room. We have our own space. They set up tables for us. Like, we bring like 30 to 40 people every Thursday to their business, which helps a local business in our community, and they love it. I would love to see their meetings and like their data points of their Thursday nights, where like the owner's like, what the hell is happening on Thursdays? It's like our line is like a hockey stick on Thursdays now. But it's just great to know that we can provide that for ourselves. Some days, like as co-founders or board members, we're not exempt from like, I mean, especially me, I'm not super social like in big crowds. So some days I show up, I'm like, I don't have it. Like, you know,
right,
I can't be kissing the babies and shaking hands the way that Ian's just like, I got it all the time. Like, I could talk to anybody. Like, so it's nice to know that we have it for ourselves, and we have that for other people to just like, it's kind of the end of the work week. You can come through, relax, get a couple miles in, get some beers in. And then like, I love the after hang, because that's where like the real connections made. Like, the miles are good, but, and there's something about sweating with someone and then like talking to them after. I think it builds this like bond. It's kind of like, you know, the football locker room is like,
sure,
people ask like what I would ever miss about playing high school football. It's like, it's fun to play the game, but like the locker room, you can't like replicate like whatever games you were playing in there,
right,
and like shenanigans you got into, like the brotherly bond that you sweat with people and then like break bread with them after, is like, it's hard to, especially as an adult, I feel like that's hard to find sometimes. I mean, people will say like, you know, I love coming to Thursdays because it's hard to make friends as an adult, and like,
yeah,
I feel that so much. And I kind of had a moment on on Tuesday. So Tuesdays we've started doing track nights as well. And like, mm-hmm. it's kind of unsanctioned and we don't really push it out because it's just kind of an experiment to see like, how does it work? How do we deal with this problem when we get too many people? And last Tuesday, so we used to do it at Germany Park, yeah. if you probably know, in Highland Park. Mm-hmm. Super nice, well lit, like great track.
Yeah.
But we're going there at like rush hour and we're like, we want to be in Oak Cliff. And there's like not a lot of tracks in Dallas.
Right.
At least now that are, Dallas ISD kind of closed all their tracks to the public. So
okay.
we had a connection at this middle school, like a half mile from where we start. And we show up the first day to check the track out and it's like a 320 meter track. There's cracks in it.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of like, yeah, this is kind of our vibe. Like, it's very gritty, but like, let's get it by any means.
Right.
There's no lights. So once daylight savings happens, it's like we're running in the dark.
Yeah.
But last Tuesday, I'm like finishing the track work. I'm on my cool down mile. And I'm just thinking like, man, this is crazy. Like, there's like 8 to 10, you know, grown ass adults out here in the dark running on a track. It's like 50 degrees in Dallas. And it's Thanksgiving week. Like, there's so many things in the adult life that could stop you from showing up to the track on Tuesdays. But I'm like, damn, this is dope. Like, we have 10 people out here that could be visiting family. They could be starting pre-Thanksgiving drinking. They could be eating. They could be doing anything. But we're all collectively, like, training for a race and, like, out here running in the dark on a janky track.
Yeah.
In Oak Cliff. And I think that's just the dopest thing ever to, like, be an adult and find the things that you find fun and take pride in and like really building. Like the journey of running is like crazy to like, I don't know. I tune into Nick Bear quite a bit, which I imagine you probably do too, but he talks a lot about how like the journey of running is like it's like a marathon of marathons. Like,
yeah,
everybody wants to be fast and run their fastest race this race. And I've been trying to adapt the mindset of like, this race is going to be super fun, but like, what are my splits at the race 2 years from now,
mm-hmm.
or in 5 years from now? And I think that's helped with at least my personal journey to running. In the past like 6 months, I've kind of just switched this mindset of like, right now I have to put the work in, but I'm not going to see those results quite yet.
Yeah.
It's going to take like time over time. And then I'll hit those splits that I'm like, why can't I hit those? I have the top end speed, but I can't apply it to distance and this and that. And like, it's a marathon of marathons.
Yeah. No, I mean, delayed gratification is huge.
Yep.
And I think specifically like with running, I laugh hearing you talk about your, the very beginning where you like had no idea about pacing and zone yeah. two and how like you don't just sprint every mile. Like,
right.
Very similar to mine, coming from a football background, had no idea anything about heart rate and what it meant to be in an aerobic zone versus mm-hmm. threshold versus, you know, working your VO2 max. Like, no, you don't know any of that.
Right.
And, but then to your point, you start learning and figuring out, okay, if I want XYZ goal, like, this is what I actually need to do to get there. And then also recognizing that certainly with running, like, it doesn't happen overnight. You can see big improvements relatively fast,
right?
But it just takes time.
Yeah.
And then I think kind of what you were just motioning is like, your I feel like you can make a huge leap and then like that improvement, it can still grow, you can still improve, but like the leaps start getting smaller, and so you're still having that, you know, consistency necessary to like keep grinding hard,
right?
Because training is hard.
Yeah.
But you know, having that goal in mind and knowing that like, if that's what I really want, then I just got to be committed to the process until I experience it.
Because
mm-hmm. if you are committed to the process, you will at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's dope. I mean, I think community, connection, all those things, like finding ways to experience like play as an adult is so important. And I think a lot of people forget or lose sight of that or don't make time for it because of, you know, the various priorities that come with being an adult,
right.
Or maybe not priorities, but just things that you have to take care of.
Responsibilities.
Yeah. But you know, to have those people out there, it's like, I would bet that like running for them is it's almost like a form of therapy.
Right.
I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. For me, it is. I do all of my long runs solo pretty much.
Yeah.
And I like, kind of like you, I like training solo. It's just kind of like my space to like, and I've been going without headphones way more lately. For a while, I was just like, oh, just put a good podcast in and like cruise. And the wild thing is without headphones, like I can hear my cadence and like it's the smallest thing, but it helps my form and like my pace and everything so much. And I was just like, something feels different lately. And I'm like, oh, I just hearing the sound of my feet outside of like, listening to something is
right.
Like, major. But it's kind of those little things you pick up along the way as you're like playing and being an adult and having this like backbone to land on. And even with you, I feel like you subtly like became a runner like out of nowhere. I remember coming down here to run the half last year, and I wasn't like, both of my races last year I didn't run for 3 weeks before my race because I was just kind of like, I have so many twinges, and like,
yeah,
I kind of was training better but still didn't feel like I was in the right place, and so I didn't run. So I came down here, I was like, I haven't ran in like 3 weeks, so I guess we're gonna see what happens. And all these things happened the morning of the race that were not planned.
Yeah.
My Airbnb was in the middle of the course.
Yeah, I remember that.
So that morning, I couldn't get out. And, like, walked up to the race, like, as the national anthem is playing. And, like, I got to go to the bathroom still. And then my Nike app wasn't loaded on my phone because I had a new phone. And, like, all these things happened. I still PR'd.
Yeah.
On a super hilly course. But I remember texting you after and, like, seeing your time. I was like, damn, Jackson, you pushed, like, 7-something average, I think.
Yeah.
And you're 7-15,
like... 7-15, I think.
I think maybe the day before you told me like you weren't like really training for it, you weren't taking it serious. You're like, yeah, just casual stroll. I was like, fuck, like I'm so far off from where that is. But now that doesn't like, I don't think about those things anymore because I'm just like, the gap is definitely like, it's different now. And then it's just like, you keep building. But with you, I feel like you went from football player to like, I feel like you had like a little CrossFit vibe for a while, or like just heavy working out. And then from my perspective, it seemed like running was just kind of something of a challenge to yourself. And now you're like fully like in training mode all the year round, it seems like.
Yeah, I it's funny, man. Like before I talk about that at all, like the beautiful thing about running is like, my journey is different than yours, different than like anybody else, right? So like, I appreciate how you said like, you saw my time, like, dang, I'm not there. But then like, you think about it differently, right? Because it's like, my pace has nothing to do with yours, and like yours That's has huge. Nothing to do with Jake's or Ryan's. And it's like, that's just something I appreciate. Is like, I can line up next to somebody who's running a 10-minute mile, and like that's their marathon pace, and like, mine's something completely different, but like, we're both gonna go 26.2, and like, we're both gonna be pushing our, you know, limits in this race. And like, there's something so dope about that I appreciate about running.
And you can do that with a world record holder, like on the same course, the same day.
Right.
You can run like an hour behind him, and that doesn't happen in any other sport. You can't suit up with Tom Brady at the Super Bowl. Like, you can't do that.
Right.
You can run the same course the same day, and someone can break the world record that day.
Yeah.
If you're running that day.
It's incredible. It's like, it's an individual sport, but it's very much like a team sport in its own way. But yeah, man, me, like, I just was trying to find ways to see what I was capable of, and still is what I'm trying to do to this day, is like, just see, like, you know, what are my limits?
Yeah.
You know, I talk about it all the time, like, no limits. Like, I'm gonna try to find it. So yeah, I'm just excited, man. I'm excited to see what you're capable of. I'm excited to see what I'm capable of. I'm excited to see what this crew is capable of. Like, I find so much joy in seeing other people figure out what their limits are.
Yeah.
And like, remove those self-imposed limitations and just go for it. Cause it's like, you know, I don't know if I can start a crew. Why not?
Yeah.
Like, for what reason would you not be able to?
Yeah.
And that's just how I view like everything, from the entrepreneurial journey to the athletic journey to you name it, like having the relationship of your dreams, like across the board, like it's all there for you. You just got to believe that you have access to it, and then make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But I appreciate you getting back in the stew with me.
Yeah, man. I was kind of curious. Have you had a repeat guest yet?
No. First one. Yeah. Wow. First one.
I'm lucky.
Yeah, bro. I'm excited. I'm excited it was you.
I love it. It's a dope journey that we're both on. So I think that's cool to like be in different places, but kind of the same place at the same time.
No doubt, brother.
Yep.
Well, like I said, I appreciate you coming back. Yeah, man. I have no doubt that the audience will appreciate it too.
Sick.
And to the listeners, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Walk On Mentality Podcast, and we will see you on the next one.